And as I said earlier, and we're going to get a chance to hear from you. I know I've been teasing this a long time. Steve and Elise, great to have you here. Many of you have had a chance to meet them. Some of you have known them for years. Some of you are going to get a chance to meet them for the very first time today. I'm just going to turn this over to them because I don't want to try to steal any of the thunder and act like I'm cool and hip and know all the stuff. I really don't. But I do know these. These are some basic things. That God is at work in the midst of his people because his people are at work in the midst of our broken world. And because our world is so broken, and God's mission is not yet completed, he calls all of us to be a part of that ministry. And Steve and Elise have got something very profound because God is using them in a very profound way. And I want to just have them get a chance to share it with you here at New Life Church here in Atwater. So Steve, Elise, please come and share with us.
Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for letting us be here. I'm going to figure out where I'm going to stand because I have papers. So, but before we get started, the kids knew we were coming here. And so before we came here, we had them make this little poster for New Life Community Church. So this is, so this is for you guys, made by the kids at Hope Mountain. So it was just one of our little projects that we like to do. So we're going to be sharing some verses that are meaningful to us and then share about the how God led us to where we're at, and then share about Hope Mountain too. So the theme of today's message is, here we are, send us, how God changed the course of our lives. And one of the verses that's so meaningful to us is Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. So the first point of, we actually have 3 points. I mean, we're not professional speakers or things like that, but we're going to try to give some points that you guys can follow along with. The first point is God prepares you for service. So why don't you start on.
Green light, yes. Okay, my name is Elisa, and I grew up in Richmond, California. So it's on the East Bay. When I was 18, I graduated from high school and went to UC Santa Cruz, where I met this guy. And I met and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior in 1979. We got married in 1981, so Steve was still in college. I worked full-time, and we moved to the Bay Area. After that, in 1983, we moved to Merced. And we have 2 children, we have 3 grandchildren, and in the Philippines, we have 10 grandchildren. They call us Lola and Lolo, which means grandma and grandpa. And we go up to Hope Mountain twice a week. We have time with them, we spend Saturdays with them, and we have a lot of fun. I retired in 2017 from Yosemite Church as the director of care ministries there. And so like some people I know from way back going to Evangelical Free Church, and then we moved to Yosemite Church in about 2000 and met a bunch of people. And Jen Williams here and I have a snow experience. And so like I know quite a few of you, and I'm grateful for some friendly faces out there.
And my name is Steve, and I grew up in Atwater. Yay! My dad was in the Air Force, so he was stationed at Castle. I went to Mitchell Elementary, Mitchell Senior High, Senior Elementary, and then Atwater High School. Graduated in 1978. And I spent a year at Merced Community College, right, like a lot of people do, before I transferred to UC Santa Cruz. So many things have happened since then. I didn't actually graduate from UC Santa Cruz because God was moving in my life to change my major from physics to engineering. So it was at that point we were dating, and we said, gosh, if I have to transfer, we ought to get married so that we're together. So we got married, and I transferred to San Francisco State, finished my degree in engineering, and through all kinds of weird God providential things, because it really was. We ended up back here, back in Merced, and I got a job at Merced County Department of Public Works, where I worked for 32 years as an engineer and retired in 2017. Some of you, I've been involved in a lot of big projects, whether I like to or not, including the Atwater Merced Expressway and Campus Parkway and all kinds of other fun little projects. You know, some projects have good, you know, some people like some don't. I was just assigned to do them, so that was okay. And I enjoyed my work. I mean, I worked for 32 years, and through that time, what I didn't know was God was preparing me. God was preparing me for ministry, working for the government, with other people, working with the community. That was all training grounds for me. So it took a long time for God to train me, right? 32 years before he led us into missions. So I'm a slow learner, I guess. So, and maybe some of you are out there ready for seeing what God's going to do for you next. We'll talk about our first short-term mission to the Philippines.
So in 2006, a friend of ours, Steve Enad, talked with Steve. And he said, you know, we're organizing a medical mission to the Philippines in February of 2007. And Steve comes home and he tells me, and I go, well, that's a bad idea. We don't need to do that. And he's like, no, I really think we need to consider that. And I said, well, if we're going to do that, let me write out a list. I'm a list person. Like one of those type A personalities that has to have a list, a spreadsheet. So I write out a list. I had, I think, 12 or 13 things on it, and God was going, check, 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 check. And so we got down to the last check mark, and we're on our way to the Philippines. So in 2007, we had our first missions trip to the Philippines. It was a short-term mission. We were there, I think it was like a 12-day deal. Two of those days are traveling. And so we got there, we did some stuff. We're not medically trained, we're on a medical mission, go figure. So we did some work, a lot of it was cleaning up or talking to people, and then we just fell in love with the people and the culture of the Philippines. And so the people are just very genuine, they're very hardworking, they're very loving, hospitable, and they have a joy for life, even though they have not much. They have a joy for life that we didn't have. And so they were very inspiring.
And that was the big deal for us, was going to be surrounded by people that aren't complaining all the time and that just enjoyed everything they had and felt blessed to have what they have. And that was addicting to us. And so we had, it took us a while before we went on the next mission trip, because we said, gosh, we could go next year, but then we thought that was selfish. We thought we're going back to get that feeling again. And we said, well, that's not the right reason to go back on a mission trip. So we prayed for a few years. It wasn't until 2010 we went again, and then we went again and again and again as God led us. Until about the seventh time we went in 2016. So 2007, 2016, quite a few years have passed. So during that trip, Steve Enad, who was our friend from Yosemite Church that brought us on these trips, he said, my family has some property up on this mountain in Cebu, and I want to take you guys there because this property is special to my family. It was a property that during World War II, when there was occupying forces in Cebu, the family came up to the mountain property and they took refuge. They lived there during the occupying times and they were safe. And that was a very meaningful thing to them. So World War II, all of a sudden, to 2016, and they said they want to dedicate this property to God's use. So we said, okay, the mission team, we all went up to this property, and so we did a prayer walk. We did a prayer walk over the property, and we claimed the property for God's use on that spot. Somewhere I actually have a video of that. We won't show that today, but so it's memorialized, and God honored that time. God honored that promise. And the only thing we did learn during that walk, we didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know what God was going to use the property for, but he gave us a name. He gave us the name Hope Mountain for whatever it was that God was going to be using there. So before we went home on that mission trip, we started exploring, well, what are the things we could use the property for? Could it be an orphanage? Could it be for senior citizens? You know, what is it that this property is going to be for? So Stevie and Ad, his daughters, years before, they had volunteered at some human trafficking NGOs in the Philippines. And so they said, well, there's this person at the airport we know. You need to go talk to her because she knows about human trafficking. And it was this lady that her job, she had a full-time job at the airport. And so we went to her office. She had this little small office, and behind her was this whiteboard. And on this whiteboard were months and then numbers, months and numbers, months and numbers. And we said, what's the whiteboard? What's that mean? What's the months and numbers? She goes, that represents the number of people that were rescued at the airport that people were trying to human traffic overseas. Because part of her job is try to identify suspicious people that are trying to take people out of the country. So that was her job. So she told us about what she did, and then she said, you guys need to talk to International Justice Mission.
And my part.
Now you're talking.
Okay. So we got back to the U.S. and we did a Zoom call with Washington, D.C. International Justice Mission. And the lady told us, she said, there's something new going on that we just found out about in the last 2 years, and that is that children are being trafficked online by their parents, by somebody who's in their family that they trust, and they are being filmed live in the Philippines to someone in a foreign country who's directing the trafficking and what they desire for these children to be having done to them. And so we just couldn't believe it. And they told us the youngest victim that they had rescued was 2 months old. And we were just shocked. We got off the phone with her. We talked amongst ourselves. Stevie and I was a part of that conversation too. And later that week, I was home from work, and I went online. I did a Google search of online sexual exploitation of children in Cebu, and there was an article about 3 children having been rescued, and their mother was being prosecuted. And I cried. I cried all day long. And when Steve got home from work, I said, we need to do something.
So all this was preparation, you know, God preparing us for his service. And this was the point where we felt God's call. God called us and said, we need to do something. And we both felt compelled to pursue that. So what is it that we're going to be doing? So our calling, that became a clear sign for us that we were going to be called. We didn't know whether it was going to be part-time, coming in, full-time. We had no clue. So we went on the next short-term mission trip to the Philippines, which was in February of 2017. And we had a meeting with the local International Justice Mission office in Cebu so that we could find out what is the problem in Cebu. Do you want to talk about that, or do you want me to talk about it?
So we were meeting with them. They were two of the aftercare people who go and rescue these kids. And one of them actually had rescued the 2-month-old baby And she was just broken up when she was talking about it, how she, you know, picked up the baby and had to drive with her in the car and just escort her, and how broken that had her feeling. She had to have days off after that. She wanted to quit. And so we were like, okay. And we said, well, what is it that you need? What is it that you need? And so they gave us a clear picture of what they needed. They needed a family-style aftercare center, homes for children rescued from trafficking. And then they needed a place that would take both boys and girls so that sibling groups wouldn't be separated. And that really had a place in my heart because when I was growing up, when my mom passed away, my brother and I got to go to one place, but my sister had to be left behind because we're a half brother and half sister. And so it just really had a place in my heart. And so it just was like God prepared me for this service.
So that was February of 2017. We left them knowing now that we needed to be full-time missionaries. I retired from Merced County actually the week before that short-term mission trip. That 32 years was definitely long enough. And so we got home from that short-term mission trip, and we started planning our move to the Philippines. And the verse that I have is Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So we're getting ready to move and do a new thing. You know, we actually had some shirts that, what is that verse about doing a new thing? Can't you see
it's
it?
It's in Isaiah.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah. But it's another special verse to us. And so we were just preparing ourselves to move. And we decided we would move in November of 2017. She was still working. And we sold 3/4 of our belongings. We still have a house in Merced that we rent to friends of ours that we get to stay in, you know, when we're here, which is awesome. So in 2017, November, after she retired from her job at Yosemite Church, we moved to the Philippines to start this work. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a story about, well, this is real. So a few months ago, one of the older girls that lives at Hope Mountain was experiencing a lot of struggles. She was missing her family. She was battling with thoughts about her perpetrator and the abuse that she had experienced. She had severe anxiety about school because she had never gone to school before she moved into Hope Mountain. She was 15 years old, never been to school. She'd only been going to school for 6 months, right, since she was rescued. So you have a lot of anxiety about school. She was having significant relationship issues with one of the other children at Hope Mountain. And so in her journal, she actually learned to write English, you know, not really well, but she learned to write English within 6 months. So in her journal that she invites me to read, she wrote how much she wants to go home, how much she wants to quit school, how she doesn't understand herself, and how she feels that no one likes her. But in the middle of her writing in her journal, she wrote, God has me at Hope Mountain for a reason. And so that is what she was holding on to as her coping mechanism for everything that she was going through. Her feelings are real. You know, we can't tell her, don't feel that, because those are what she was feeling. And these are feelings of a young teenager that was manipulated, exploited, and abused by people she trusted, including her family. So it's difficult for her to trust anyone. She doesn't know what to feel. She doesn't know who she is. She's always anticipating that the people around her will eventually betray her. So our job at Hope Mountain is to help her as she goes through these struggles by giving her unconditional love, affirmation, and comfort.
So the children that we have, we've had children up there for 2 years. They range in age from 8 years old to 17 years old. And this girl has only been with us for since November last year. And one of the things that Steve does is he talks with her, and she'll say something to him, and he'll go, "So we need to have a game plan. So what's the game plan? What are we going to have for the game plan?" And so he'll give her little assignments. So sometimes it's memorizing a Bible verse, or sometimes it is, "What are you going to do when that happens again?" And so she takes that to heart. She's really, I guess what I would say is she's open to change. And so that's very encouraging to us about her, because she's very open to change. Some of the other children, they've been with us for 2 years. So we've made a couple of trips to the U.S., and we've come back. For this girl, she's afraid we're not going to come back. And we keep telling her, "No, we'll come back. It'll be okay. We're going to come back." So that's just a thing that we have to just really be mindful of what they're feeling when we leave, too.
So the third point, you know, the first point was God prepares you for service, right? The second point, one, God gives you a passion and calls you to service. He definitely did that for us. And then the third point is God confirms your call to service. You know, you have to test when you're called. There has to be a confirmation, right? You make sure it's not you. Make sure this isn't coming out of you. And so there were a lot of things that God did to confirm our call to service. One was, one of the big things was he got us a visa so that we're permanent residents in the Philippines. That is not an easy thing to do. So that was one confirmation, how he worked through everything so that we have permanent visas and we're permanent residents of the Philippines. And also during one of our meetings at Hope Mountain, Steve Enad was talking to his architect friend about his condo that he was having remodeled. And we just kind of casually shared with the architect about Hope Mountain and what we wanted to do. And the architect from Cebu said, "I want to design your facility for free." And we didn't even ask him, right? So God is there preparing people for you before you meet them. So I don't know what God was doing in the life of this guy, but at that moment, he was ready to respond, even without the call, to design our entire facility for free. And architect services are not cheap. So that was definitely a clear calling to us that God is in this. And then God provided just a lot of generous donors. The first house was built with a lot of small donations. The second house was built with some larger donations, but God provided those funds, and we didn't have to worry about them. We had to do some things to help ask people for the money, but God provided those funds. And one of the other things is God helped us through this extremely long process that the Philippines has to get a license to operate. The Philippines, they're very rule-oriented government. They learned it all from the U.S. military. They've kind of taken all this U.S. military stuff and they've taken it into their government, so they're very rule-oriented. And so they had this long list of things we needed to do to get a license to operate our facility. And they wouldn't give us a license to operate till our facility was built. So here we are building homes just with the faith that we were going to get the license to operate, because they said, "We won't even look at your stuff until we can inspect your homes." And so it's like, okay. By faith, we're going to build these homes. And through that We built the homes. They came and inspected. They had some, you know, little tweaks that they wanted us to do to the homes. But we got our license to operate in 2020, February 2020, and in March 2020, the first four children moved into Hope Mountain. So God confirms your call in many ways. So we have some slides to show you. So we're going to start at the beginning here. So this is Hope Mountain Center. This is our vision statement. It's a safe refuge of hope, healing, and restoration for children, both boys and girls, rescued from online sexual exploitation and abuse. And the verse that guides us in everything we do is Mark 10:16, which is, "And Jesus took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them." I love that verse. I remember growing up going to Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher using flannel graphs, right? I'm old, right? There was no modern technology, you know. Flannel graphs with Jesus in a meadow, on his knee, with a child on his knee, with sheep in the background. And I remember that flannel graph like it was yesterday, just seeing that. And that's the word picture I get in my mind every time I read this verse. And wouldn't you have loved to have been one of those children that actually got to sit on Jesus' knee and have him bless you? I wish there were some chapters in the Bible that talked about what happened to those kids. Wouldn't that be amazing to just, what happened to those kids that Jesus personally blessed? What an amazing, I just get all weird when I start thinking about that, because I know God did something special in the lives of those children. So the next slide. 10 boys, 6 girls, and 6 boys and 4 girls, 10 children, 10 children, 6 boys and 4 girls between 8 and 17 years old currently live at Hope Mountain Center. This is a photo of 8 of them. 2 of them were on a family visit during this photo. This photo was taken at what we now call Prayer Point. This is the location where we did that prayer of dedication for the property. And if you could actually see the picture up close, you could see the ocean in the background. I mean, it's down the mountain, but it's just a beautiful, very wonderful place. And so at Hope Mountain Center, children live in a family-style setting where they're surrounded by an atmosphere of unconditional love, care, and compassion. So, because we wanted to honor what IJM told us to do, said, what is the biggest need? There are several characteristics that make the Ministry of Hope Mountain Center distinct from other facilities. One is we accept both boys and girls so that siblings can live and heal together. And it's a beautiful thing to see that. And another thing is we have a Christian Filipino married couple as the primary house parents in each home. That's pretty unusual for any type of aftercare facility. Normally you just have women that are serving as the house parents. Here we have a married Christian married couple that are serving as the almost foster parents to these kids, so that these children have both a positive male and female role model in their lives, which is something that many of these never had. And all of our staff are trained in trauma-informed care. We're very lucky that International Justice Mission and other NGOs like World Hope, there's two different ones, I get them. World Hope International, they actually come and they train our staff in trauma-informed care. And our staff, it's you wouldn't believe how necessary it is, because these kids have behaviors that a normal parent wouldn't want to deal with. And so it's vital that they're trained to be able to do that. So the next slide, the mission of Hope Mountain Center is to transform the lives of children who are victim survivors of online sexual exploitation and abuse, empowering each child to move from helpless victim to thriving survivor. And so the mission of Hope Mountain Center is focused on restoring the physical, emotional, social, and spiritual health of the children. All four of those are really important. So at Hope Mountain Center, the children, next slide, receive counseling, medical care, education, life skills training, and biblical discipleship. The kids have two devotionals every day, one in the morning, one in the evening. The house parents lead it. So, you know, that's another thing, is you're having your parents, your foster parents, leading you in Bible devotions. That's what a thing to happen to these children. And the children go to church every Sunday. There's actually three churches that they split between, because we have very close connections with three churches. And so we can't really just say this is the one you're going to, because we have very close ties to three churches, so they alternate going to the three different churches. And it really helps. It's important in the socialization of these children. But yeah, the kids love going to church. They love memorizing scripture. Churches there are different. You know, you can go to some of the churches, and before they get started, they'll go around and they'll say, okay, what scripture did you memorize? And they'll go row to row to row to get people to say, what scripture did you memorize this week? I haven't seen that in the United States yet, but that happens over there. It's intimidating to us a little bit, because sometimes we feel like we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Yeah. So this is the site master plan. I don't really just know there's a master plan. I'm an engineer. I have to have master plans. So we can move on to the next. The first two homes are shown on there. And the next, December 16th, 2021, that was right before this last Christmas, we were 2 weeks away from opening the second home. We had just hired the house parents that were going to live in there. On that day, they were actually going through their orientation with our social worker, and this typhoon started coming towards Hope Mountain. And it was, you know, it was going to be a small typhoon at first, and then nobody predicted it increased to a Category 5 typhoon within a couple hours. And that's the same as a Category 5 hurricane. So sustained winds over 133 miles per hour, gusts even higher than that. And so it caused significant damage to these brand new homes that were designed to all the codes, built in a very good way, but a Category 5 typhoon is just something you can't build to. So you can see the damage. You can see ceilings collapse. The roof was peeled back. We have all kinds of stories we can tell about what the children did. We won't.
But none of them were injured. None of the staff were injured.
That's by God's grace. None of them got a cut, a bruise, or anything. They hid in the stair, a closet under the stairs for hours during the storm. So in the damage that happened in 5 hours took 5 months to repair. So it wasn't until just April that the homes were done and the children could move back into their bedrooms, the boys in one home, the girls in the other.
And you guys were a part of the repairs, so thank you for your donations.
Yeah. So this next slide, if you click on it, you'll see it start to move. This is a drone video flying over the existing facility. You can see we have a volleyball court outside the gate, outside the fence, and we have a garden area. And you can see we have the construction of a third home that has started, but it's kind of currently suspended. And you can see the first two homes that the children are living in. And you can kind of get an idea of what it looks like around Hope Mountain. And it is on the top of a little mountain there. And I kind of like that video. And you can see that's the road that leads up to Hope Mountain, just a little dirt road that leads up there. So, but on the next slide, this is a photo of during one of the outings, but we get to have this special role at Hope Mountain. We have house parents that deal with the children, minister to the children. I deal with the children, it's not the right word, right? You know, you don't deal with your kids, you care for them. So we have house parents that minister and care for the kids on a day-to-day basis. Like Elisa said earlier, we go there 2 days a week. Saturday is a special day because we basically get to be like grandparents and go have special activities with the children. And so if we go through these slides kind of quickly, we taught them how to play kickball. They'd never even heard of kickball. We have crafts with them. And we teach them games they've never learned. That is the picture around the table. They're actually going through their school modules with the teacher that we have at Hope Mountain. So they get printed modules from a school to go through. And we had a special mask painting day where there were just blank masks, and we gave them some ideas of what they could paint. None of them followed any of the ideas. They just painted what they wanted. And it's very revealing, right? When kids paint what they want on their masks, and they put their masks on and they start acting differently, right? And so that's stuff that we just have to observe and learn about. But it was a fun activity. And we also make pizza with the kids. We make cookies. This is stuff that they don't normally do. And we have ducks and goats up there at Hope Mountain. We don't teach them how to take care of the ducks and goats. Our house parents that are experienced in taking care of ducks and goats are teaching them all about taking care of ducks and goats, including harvesting, you know, ducks to eat, right? Not like me we're used to going to the grocery store to get our meat there.
Bag of chicken.
Yeah. And the next slide, they also learn interesting things like knitting with a little loom or American hamburgers. During this time, we're building relationships with the kids, which is really important. And we're also learning what it is they're good at, right? Because we want to be able to set these children on a course for their future. And the only way you can do that is spend time with them and do different things with them to learn what they're good at. And gardening, everybody's learning how to grow a garden.
Gardening is completely different in the Philippines than here. So we've tried to grow some things and they are just like dying. So the house parents are teaching them gardening.
Yeah, and we were very fortunate. Before the typhoon, we had a special fundraiser to raise money for a new vehicle. The typhoon happened, and then we actually raised all the money before the typhoon. The typhoon happened, and then all the dealerships were closed for a month because they were all damaged. So you couldn't even buy a vehicle for a month in the Philippines. But in January, we were blessed to be able to go buy this new vehicle, which is so important to the ministry. The field trip, there's a picture of the kids. We're taking the kids on a field trip. And then the next slide, Samaritan's Purse. You know, this was 2 weeks ago. While we were here, they sent us a picture. We knew they were going to get boxes because there's a local church that kind of has us under their wings. And the local church would take the kids to go get kind of like a vacation Bible school. They have to have four different
sessions
with the pastors going through this vacation Bible school-like material before they can get their boxes. I don't know how many of you know that, but that's what happens there. The kids just don't show up and get boxes. They actually go through a vacation Bible school where they learn about God, learn about Jesus, what he did for them, and then they are able to get their boxes. So this photo is our kids plus some kids from that church receiving their boxes like about 2 weeks ago. Next slide. I already said that, but we're licensed to operate. Yeah. And all the children we receive, we're not part of the rescues. We receive all the children through referrals through the Department of Social Welfare and Development. They're rescued by the Philippine National Police and other people. Restoration partners, I think that was the slide before this one, are vital for the ongoing ministry of Hope Mountain. We operate on monthly support from people that give $10, $20, some give more than that. We actually are free because I have this amazing pension from Merced County. We don't have to raise money for ourselves. We use my pension to cover all of our costs, all our expenses, all our transportation. It's a bonus. So any money that gets donated goes directly into the ministry for the staff costs, for food costs, for utilities, all this stuff. And if you want to find out more about Hope Mountain, there's our website. You can find out about how you can donate to Hope Mountain through that. And we will be here after the service to just talk more. We have this wonderful list of if anybody wants to go buy stuff that we will ship to Hope Mountain, we have these lists of things. They're on our information table, but one of the things that got damaged during the typhoon was everybody's Bibles got wet. So we bought new Bibles, but what we need, one of the things on this list is Bible covers, you know, something that would help keep their Bibles in better shape. Some of the kids, this one girl, right, she says, "Lolo, Steve, please buy me a new Bible." Because her Bible, she actually dried it out. And so it's all expanded because it's dried after being so wet. And so we bought her new Bible. We're going to ship them to her. But one of the things on the list is Bible covers to help care for their Bibles. Thank you for letting us share. We appreciate being here. And that's it. Thank you.